things are going so poorly right now, we're wondering about our football men mortality. A Browns legend is, I think, maybe having an existential crisis. You'll hear that audio here in just a moment. First, start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Afternoon Drive's Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin, broadcasting live this Thursday from 2 to 7 at Fairview Tavern in Fairview Park. Wonderful establishment. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Here's Myles Garrett. This is yesterday after another loss.
Legacy. I play this game to be the very best there is. And I expect everyone else to play it because they love it. Play it because they want to be remembered for something. Whether they're 2-8, whether they're 8-2. You know, this will be remembered for years to come. You know, there will be film, people will speak about you, and you know, you'll have to look yourself in the mirror. Your effort and what you put on tape is going to decide what's going to happen for your career and for the years to come. And when I said put it out there, I expect to do the very best job I possibly can, and I expect that of everyone else who's out there with me.
What did you think of that?
I'm thinking a lot about Myles Garrett. In a weird way, it's one of the few things I'm thinking of left before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because we all saw yesterday, and the fact that the broadcast made mention of, well, it's a very quiet day for Myles Garrett. And then the defense gets humiliated the way they did. Really, it was the first quarter, the second quarter, and the fourth quarter. Third quarter, they were fine. After that, it was embarrassing. It really was. And to have Taysom Hill, of all guys, especially when that's all you talked about for a week, you had the time off because of the bye week. Myles is who I'm nervous about because you feel like you want Myles to be a part of whatever championship window they have. And if he is looking like he looked yesterday, it is really rough to start to think about where the solutions start to come from.
There's no championship window. And I don't think the championship window, as of right now, is going to be within his time frame. Is it not? When do you think that we're close to winning a championship?
Right.
The guy we're going to win a championship with is not in professional football right now. The quarterback that we'll need is not playing on Sundays. Hell, for all we know, he's still in high school. I mean, I don't know.
So if that's the case, you trade him then,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Well, you would ask him if he would be willing to accept a trade this offseason. Yeah, you certainly do.
The guy I saw yesterday seems like he'd be just fine. And I know he's entrenched here. He has the partial ownership with the Cavs. I know he's very involved. He is a fan favorite.
This is
the stuff you talk about when things go off the rails.
This is Joe all over again. Can't believe we're doing this. It's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. Not as much as it changes, it just stays the same. It's to have all these different general managers and all these different team presidents come in here and reinvent the wheel the way that they see it, and we're still talking. See, this is what's so damn frustrating about it, and I'm going to try not to cuss, because how many different guys have come in here with bravado and have said that they are going to change the way that football is seen in the NFL within the Cleveland Browns, and here we are still having you. This is what makes it bad. This is why, like, I like the Browns, I love the fans, and you should love the fans as well. Not you, I mean everybody. Because you're the ones left holding the bag. You're the general managers who will never be fired. You're the ones who have to clean up the mess of all of it. You're the ones who have to pay the money to go into the stadium. You're the ones that have to give your time, whatever that may be, to do it. And that's why we had that conversation on the podcast last Tuesday about, well, do we really need to care about players' life? You don't need to care about anything you don't care about. But you do choose to care about the Browns. And here we are, less than a decade later, having the same conversation about a legendary football player. Except at least this guy went to the playoffs. The other guy never went. And we're at, well, you know, should we trade him for his own good? I mean, we're talking about getting rid of a guy for their own good. Like, we're putting dogs to sleep here. I mean, for the love of God. Meanwhile, we got different general managers in different places. Some are in football still. Some are out of football. Some are hosting their own podcast, talking trash about other general managers that still have a job. Meanwhile, you're left holding the bag with the bad memories, trying to compare, and this is the worst, is we make our plans to the future because we all have the PTSD of the previous seasons. You make the plans of the future based on what you've already seen. So these guys may be the best of what you already had, but since your bar is so low, that's really not an accomplishment. And so we're over here talking about Miles. Well, you know, he's still on the Browns, and he's still on the Cavs, and he still has a house here. And boy, if we can get a first-round pick back, and we could do right by Miles. It's the same conversation we had about Joe. The same one. You know, they all get paid to go away. And they can all sit there and tell you, well, you guys don't know what it's like. You guys don't know what the struggle is. You guys can turn off the TV. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you get paid the money to stay or go or to make this thing work out or so we can find somebody else. 216-474-0092. Boy, that's terrifying audio. As much as we try to change things, it always has the same outcome. Mike in Streetsboro, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, Kenny. Yeah, you know what? I still wouldn't fire Stefanski. He was put in this position, and, you know, he's had to deal with this horrible quarterback play, and I don't think he is the problem. Not everybody else, they're Dave, not him.
So everybody else is the problem except for Stefanski?
I believe so, because I think, you know, Andrew Berry was the one who wanted that bum Watson, and he put us in the hole so bad.
Yeah, but at the same time, Mike, I mean, Kevin was on the plane, too.
No.
I don't know why I'm talking like this, but Kevin was on the plane, too.
I know, man, but Kevin Stefanski's a good coach, and he has been dealt a bad hand. A very bad hand.
He might listen. I'm not going to say that all of a sudden he's a garbage coach. I think a lot of people want to say that, Mike. I mean, I was willing to say 2 weeks ago he's a good coach. So who am I? I'm not going to sit there and say you're wrong. I don't believe you're wrong, but I do believe we are seeing a situation here, Mike. And thank you very much for the call. God, I don't want to admit this, but it could just be untenable. And I could see Kevin Stefanski doing well with another team.
Well, I've seen people,
I keep him with my situation.
I've seen people debating. Yeah, well, I mean, when it's time to move on, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that. I've said that. I've accused callers and listeners of being idiots earlier in the year and last year for wanting to move on from Stefanski, because I do think once people get that in their head on any coach, that's it. They're never going to cave. If they're going to find ways, like if a team's winning, it's never the coach, it's then the players. Like, I understand that game. I've probably gone down that same path with certain guys before, too. Stefanski has been their best coach, without a doubt.
Yes.
And I was blown away by what they were able to accomplish last year, making that playoff run with Joe Flacco and guys off the street. But I watched yesterday Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I watched Jim Harbaugh. The way those guys interact with their players feels like there's always going to be a buy-in. It feels like there always is. Like
John Harbaugh.
Yeah. He's another
one. They lost.
I just don't know that with Kevin. I don't see players, and we've asked Rodney McLeod, we've asked other players about that, especially after he got Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Anytime we talk to anybody, they're like, no, you don't understand Kevin. But I looked at those players yesterday, and maybe it's just easy to say that because they're a losing team, and they look like they're going to go on a huge, huge losing streak here that could just make this year totally, totally a disaster. But it doesn't seem like those guys have that kind of buy-in with him.
No. No. And I've never accused him of being a fiery leader that picks people's spirits up and gets them going. I think that he has shown more emotion after victories. I think he was truly inspired by their performance last year, but he's not that guy. He is not the type of person. I think he is a good manager of people, as best he can, manager of offense and the X's and O's. But I do not believe that he's the type of person that is going to get somebody to dig down deep and get more of them, to reach past the mental block, to ask more of themselves in a November football game. I've never accused him of being that guy. I can say on a witness stand, I believe he's a good coach, but this might not be the situation. And he could end up in another situation where all of a sudden he's great and we could be doing Belichick 2.0 all over again. But damn, I'm looking at this spot now, and that can't be my only argument, because he could just always be another also-ran NFL coach. So is that a reason to not make any move at the end of this year when clearly he's not inspired by what's going on. You can hear that in the post game. He's going through the motions, and the players are going through the motions on the field. This was after a bye week. This was after your self-scout. You can't get him right on. You can't get him right on special teams. You pay the fiddler for that because you hired the special teams coordinator. At least that's what we believe. It's still on your staff. Your offense can't get it together. You gave up play calling duties. Well, nobody is going to cry a river of tears over Ken Dorsey if he's separated. The defense doesn't look good. We're dancing after plays still. And guys, you got to cut it out. It just looks terrible. Stop dancing after all these plays. I don't care. I know it's a loaf. It was a great story last year when you were 11-6. It looks terrible now. When you're dancing after a pass breakup in the corner of the end zone and then you give up a touchdown later on in the drive, guess the first thing I'm saying if I'm Alvin Kamara? I'm finding whoever I saw dancing and I'm yelling at him.
Well, it just comes off that they only care about themselves, that they only care about their stat sheets.
Even if they're instructed to do so, which is what Jim Schwartz says, it's a terrible look. It's a terrible look. It looks exactly how you just said it. Fans don't care about the stats. The only time we care about the stats is when we're trying to make arguments for terrible football players like we have for 20 years because we didn't want to see the truth. Well, here's the truth right in front of you. Jim in Strongsville, this will be fun. Hello.
Listen, even during the 1-31 years, there was some joy in watching these games. Not a lot, but there was some. It is a joyless experience watching this team right now. I don't know the last time I could say I literally got no joy. I felt like it was a job to sit down and watch this team. And you know what? And then I was sick, Ken, because you know what comes across my thing? Fox 8 wants to tell me about what they're going to charge for PSLs. And I'm thinking to myself, what? What? It's just too much at once. On
we're
top
doing PSLs?
Of this, I'm doing this.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to pay thousands of dollars for a PSL to what? A great nice stadium with a team that sucks and brings me no joy. They cost me money. They're worse than my kids. At least they bring me joy.
I don't know if this is the right time to be talking about PSLs over there.
Well,
all right,
it
thank
is
you
a
for
story
the call,
they
Jim.
Plan on running. They Fox 8 did run it yesterday. It'll be running tonight, according to their commercial.
Is this the Galax?
I believe so.
Is it both Galax?
I'm not sure. I don't know how many Galax we're getting on this.
If it's one Galax.
But they did run it during, I mean, Fox played the game yesterday, so why not play the commercial with it, you know?
Okay. If it's one Galax, that's one thing. If you're getting double Galax.
Well, you never want to get double Galax.
No. No. Frank in Washington. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay, Frank. Go ahead.
I think we've ran out of things to say. This team is awful. This franchise is awful. And for the most part, collectively, outside of like five guys, the players have been awful. And I just wonder if you do, you know, sort of a temperature check around the city, how much more money are, you know, fellow Clevelanders going to be spending on season tickets for this crap? And why do it when you have a great product down the street, two great products down the street? That's what I'm left thinking here. It's like, you know, since 1999, the Guardians have made the postseason 50% of the time. The Cavaliers, for the most part, have given, you know, people like me, I'm 31 years old, a lot of joy. I've only known LeBron and Donovan Mitchell, and it's been pretty great. You know, I've had a pretty good time with it. I've seen nothing besides awful Browns play. And, you know, my dad's even worse, and my grandpa's even worse. And it's like, so why do we continue to keep spending to fund these bums? And it all starts with the owner, who's a crook and never should have been able allowed to buy the team. They never looked at it thoroughly enough and realized.
Well,
Frank,
I mean, I can't go calling people that. And I wouldn't say that about the other owners. Okay. As far as you spending your money on the team and the people spending their money on the teams, I mean, this is point in case why, and thank you very much for the call, Frank. This is case in point why you're going to draft a quarterback and you'll more than likely make a head coaching change. Because this is as apathetic as I found the franchise. I mean, this is not as apathetic as 0-16. They were really apathetic during 0-16. But this is as apathetic as this is the two times I've seen it this apathetic. The problem is you had boatloads of cap space and a lot of things to look forward to. Right now, you don't have any of that. I mean, hell, the Juan Thornhill thing is a dead cap hit for $12.5 million next year. So you don't have any of that. So the outlook is even bleaker. And so that's why, yeah, you're gonna go after somebody. You'll go after Ward or Milroe or Shador Sanders, which will be a totally other conversation, considering his father said he's going to definitely get involved if the wrong team picks his son. Which, by the way, they're 8-2 and kicking ass.
Unbelievable.
Credit where it's due, man. Good job. He's done a hell of a job over there.